from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, the crucified and the risen Christ. In the verses immediately preceding today's gospel lesson, Jesus has asked his disciples the question, "Who do you say that I am?" And this was the focus of all of last Sunday's gospel lesson. And Simon Peter answers enthusiastically, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." It is one of the most dramatic moments in the disciples' life with Jesus. But then, Jesus changes the subject. He begins to tell the disciples that the crowds will soon turn against him, that he will be crucified, and on the third day be raised. The disciples do not know what to do with all of that. And Peter decides that he's going to be the one to set Jesus straight. Peter is going to be Jesus' campaign manager, if you will, his handler. Basically, what Peter says to Jesus is, "Jesus, don't you know this is not politically correct? Come on, Jesus, this is no way to win the masses. You can't go around talking about defeat and failure, death, crucifixion. Jesus, if you're going to win the hearts of the people, you have to learn how to say the right things. Come on, Jesus, make us happy." Peter and Jesus have very different agendas. And therefore, Jesus bluntly responds, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. You are a hindrance to me. For you are setting your mind on the thing, not on divine things, but on human things." Jesus could not have given Peter a more severe rebuke. "Peter, you think that what you say is good, but you are actually siding with Satan, the enemy." I want you to ask yourselves today a disturbing question. Could Jesus say the same to you? Could Jesus say to you, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. You're a hindrance to what I seek to accomplish and do. Your mind is not fixed on the things of God, but on the things of men." You see, Satan doesn't just use bad people to do his work. In fact, he most often seeks to use good people. Yes, we are his target. Good people who are not as committed maybe as we should be. This is where Satan seeks to be most effective. The world looks at the sloppy religiosity of the institution of the church. The world looks at it playing all of its institutional kind of clubby games, and it declares, "Well, if that's Christianity, no thanks. I don't need it." And that is why in Revelations, the third chapter, Jesus speaks even to the early church, the New Testament church, and he says, "I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you really were one or the other, but because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Wow, strong words. As strong as the words that Jesus speaks to Peter in today's gospel lesson. Therefore, that tells me that this really is an important question for the church today, and therefore for every single one of us. Which side, whose side are you on? There's no straddling of the fence. Either you are for Jesus or you are against him, no matter how religious or godly you might appear. This morning, I want you to ask yourself three questions. And here's the first. Is your faith truly sacrificial? that there are many people today who are under the misconception that you can be a follower of Jesus Christ without bearing the cross. We become a rather pathetic people when it comes to our faith. Many of us are much more interested in following our favorite football team or political candidate or the stock market or even the weather. We want salvation without sacrifice. And so our Christianity becomes conveniently pathetic and rather pallid in its taste. It was Dietrich Bonhoeffer who wrote the great Christian classic, The Cost of Discipleship. And Bonhoeffer actually takes the title for his book from today's gospel lesson. So what does it mean to be a Christ follower, a disciple of Jesus? Bonhoeffer writes, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. The deadly enemy of the church today, declares Bonhoeffer, is cheap grace. Cheap grace is the grace that we bestow on ourselves, is the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. It is baptism without church discipline. It is communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, without the cross. Costly grace, on the other hand, it is the gospel which must be sought again and again. It is costly because it condemns sin. And it is grace because it forgives the sinner. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus. But above all, this grace is costly because it cost God the life of His only begotten Son. And above all, this is grace because God did not reckon the life of His Son too great a price to pay for you. Close quote. The sad reality is that in today's world, most of us have absolutely no idea what it means to sacrifice. We have become so comfortable in our Western world. We think we are sacrificing when we don't sleep in on Sunday mornings, but actually get up and come to church. When we get up 10 minutes earlier in the morning so we can read our Bibles. We think we are sacrificing when we skip our favorite TV show to help out a neighbor or maybe a family member. We think we are sacrificing when we start tithing. But tithing is not sacrificing, not according to God. And the last time I checked, His is the only opinion that counts. Tithing, giving that first 10% off the top, according to God's word, is the baseline for all Christians. What we do beyond that is called our offering, and what we do beyond that is called our sacrifice. Sacrificing changes our life and our life's priorities, our life's goals. Today, it is the third world that is teaching us about the true meaning of faith and sacrifice. If we want to see sacrifice, true sacrifice, then consider the young Nigerian Muslim woman who chose to confess Jesus as her Lord and Savior, knowing full well that it would very possibly cost her her life, and it nearly did. Her father, learning of her conversion to Jesus, without hesitation, he grabbed his machete, he hacked off her arm, and he threw her out into the street to die. She was saved only because other Christians literally risked their very lives to dare to try and rescue hers. Sacrifice? Do we have any idea what that means? It has not been that long since we were hearing weekly of our brothers and sisters in Christ dying for their Christian faith in Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt. And Christians, yes, they are still dying today, dying simply because they choose Jesus. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to grow up. Following Jesus, oh, it is most certainly a joyful business, but let's not kid ourselves, it is serious business as well. And that's why we have to stop playing at church, because people's eternal salvation is at stake, and when we don't do our jobs, when we don't get it right, people literally go to hell. Our goal is to bring the world to saving faith in Jesus Christ. But that does not happen when we only play at being Christians. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to my Father who is in heaven." Jesus calls us to be salt and light, his great change agents in the world, changing our world for the sake of God's kingdom, to make a difference with all that he has given to us and entrusted to us. We must ask ourselves, what great opportunities to share Jesus' love did I just let slip through my hands today? Maybe it was an opportunity with a coworker, a neighbor, maybe a total stranger. We're always on call to be that light, to be that source of encouragement in the name of Jesus, to lift one another up for the sake of the kingdom, to love, to let the love of Jesus flow through us, to be those conduits of his grace and mercy, his patience, his understanding. And that starts right at home. So this is the first question. Is your life in Christ truly sacrificial? And here's the second. Do you spend most of your efforts looking out for yourself? In other words, are you number one or is Jesus number one? The reality is that most people spend most of their lives looking out for themselves. It's just called human nature. We do it quite naturally. But that doesn't make it right. Whatever happened to that great acronym in the word joy? J-O-Y. J for Jesus first, O for others second, and Y for yourself third. Yes, we need to have a healthy sense of self-respect in order to make a difference in Christ's world. But we were not put on this world to put ourselves first. I think many of you know the opening line to that famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life. What's the opening line? It's not about you. Wow. And that's how that book starts. Jesus said, for those who want to save their life will lose it. J-O-Y. So is yours a joy-filled life? Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. And that brings us to our third final point. Do you trust God and God alone for the miracle of your salvation? It would be very easy to conclude from today's gospel lesson, if you take it out of context from the rest of Scripture, that the whole story of our faith could be summed up this way. Number one, deny yourself. Number two, live sacrificially. Number three, take up your cross, and you will be saved. But none of this sacrifice and living for others will save us. Only Jesus' sacrifice, not yours, not mine, only Jesus' sacrifice has the power to save you and me, because his and his alone is the perfect, sinless sacrifice. At the heart, the core of it all, is the miracle of God's love. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And therefore, my self-denial, my sacrifices, they can never earn, they can never somehow buy my way into heaven. Only Jesus offers the perfect sacrifice, and that is exactly what he has done for you and for me. Love so amazing. Love so divine. Yes, it demands my life, my soul, my all. But all of our sacrifice is not so that we might be saved. It is because we have been saved, and this is just simply our response, our very natural response to God who first loved us. So whose side are you on? I hope you're on God's side. For it is God who loves you when the world denies you. And Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Come, find your life in Jesus. Amen.